Royal Verses, Psalms. Why do the wicked seem to prosper while the righteous appear to be stuck with the short end of the stick? The book of Psalms provides a perspective. The first two Psalms provide an essence of the entire book. The Psalms can also be seen by two perspectives, as per Jack Scott, the author's perspective and the inspired perspective, that is from the eyes of Christ when he was a man. The wicked versus the righteous, Psalm 1. The wicked do not describe murderers, prisoners, swindlers, etc., though they may be included. They cover the much larger segment of those who are unsaved, that is, those who are not driven by the word of God and those who do not believe in Jesus. They may demonstrate scrupulous character and external integrity, yet fall into the same category and face the same fate. The picture of chaff which the wind blows away is the way God perceives them: temporary, highly volatile, unstable, and easily destructible. In spite of the fact that they may appear to flourish, wield high degrees of power and popularity. The righteous or saved, on the other hand, bear likeness to a strong, continually flourishing, fruit-bearing tree, constantly nourished by flowing water. To us, they may appear to be losing, weak, and pushed around. A salient characteristic of the righteous man or woman is a deep orientation and absorption with the word of God, Psalm 1, verse 2. The war of world rulers against Christ, Psalm 2. The struggle is aptly described in Psalm 2, 2 and 3. The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." The kings of the earth refer to not only government authorities, but also include the current leaders in varying fields. Satan has his hold on most and is influencing people through media, culture, trends, technology, and even maintaining strongholds in the church. The goal is to break their chains. Strong binding ties between the Creator and the created, which get weaker and weaker as ties with the world, its power and attractions get stronger. The psalmist repeatedly emphasizes that the temporary victory of world powers will bow to the compulsive, inevitable, and permanent victory of Christ and his people. While several try to play both sides, we can only remain in one. Where is our allegiance, not only in mind and words, but in actions and choices? Which power are we aligned to?